Ancient Warfare, The Silver Shields, Part 2. In battle, the Silver Shields merely asserted push and shove of the phalanx encountered, which required less endurance than one might imagine, and would not be outside the physical capabilities of old men. It overlooks the fact that the Silver Shields did in fact participate in extended marches across most of Asia during the Wars of the Successors. When considering army movements, it should be remembered that large numbers of camp followers were with the army. That would include the men's wives, children, the usual baggage, and all sorts of other people. And that is going to reduce the pace of the army. Well, what is the pace? Typically, the marching speed of infantry in this era is estimated to between 2.5 and 3 miles an hour. That's by a study done by Ingalls in 1978, and that's on page 154 of his study. And you go, what? You got 70-year-olds marching at that pace? Well, it's not that big of a pace. I'm 67, and while I do some weightlifting, I do 3 miles a day at the gym, and I do 3 miles in approximately 12 to 13 minutes per mile, and I could do that for a long period of time. My wife who's 75, when we travel in the summer, it's not uncommon for us to walk 10 miles, 11 miles, walking to see other things, but not a lot of people are in that shape, and you would assume that with these guys fighting the way they do, they are in incredible shape. So it's not that big of a deal. You also have to add in some other things. For example, cavalry horses would also need to be stopped a few times every day just to have their harnesses adjusted and for feeding. And the soldiers would all have to stop periodically to eat. And a marching army was usually required to halt about 1 day out of 7 to allow the horses and other animals to recover from their burdens, their packs, or pulling carts and carrying their riders. So the average daily march distance for an army of this era is probably about 13 miles a day. Now, this is different if you had just the military. You've been listening to my various shows on the Napoleonic era. We know that when Napoleon landed in the southern part of France to return for the 100 days, his group of elite grenadier guards of about 1,000 men averaged over 30 miles a day because they needed to be in Paris on a certain date. And they had been doing that over the years. I'm sure the Spartans, when they left and headed for Thermopylae, marched at a different pace. But that's strictly military units. When you're taking the whole army, you have all these other things that you have to take into consideration. Another question about the Silver Shields regiment was its fighting strength. Now, I've mentioned it at 300 and repeat 3,000. And repeatedly in ancient accounts, they used the same number, 3,000. It is reasonable to expect losses to have been taken and some reduction. So that would mean that surely some of these gentlemen are replaced by people being promoted because of their strength and skill into this elite force. But there is evidence that no new inductions were actually made into the Silver Shields. And the sources emphasize the elderliness of all the men, making no allowances for young soldiers within the ranks of the Silver Shields. One possible answer is that the figure 3,000 merely was a short version of denoting 3 chilarchs of soldiers, with a chilarchia comprising a maximum of 1,000 men. That would be at maximum strength. The figure 3,000 meant the regiment was comprised of 3 smaller units, and so the number 3,000 would have been simply a maximum figure. If you think about it, it would be hard to bring in a new man to this unit, because remember, those Silver Shields were given to them by Alexander. A dead Silver Shield, his family would receive the shield. And so new people would have a pretty tough time getting in there, at least at this stage. Well, that brings us to the end of the Silver Shields. Now, they haven't stopped yet, but their final major battle. It's the Battle of Gabin in 316 BC. In 316, Antigonus caught up with Eumenes, this time on the flat, dusty terrain of Gabin in present-day Iran. Now, on a flat surface, this phalanx action is problematic. The infantry can pretty much stay in one area, but the cavalry is going to determine who's going to win. Well, the battle is described by Diodorus Siculus, and he says that the Silver Shields were simply unstoppable. They were not checked and charged directly into Antigonus's main phalanx. Quote, The Silver Shields were so superior in skill and strength that of their own men they lost not one of them, but of those that opposed them they slew 5,000 and routed the entire main phalanx of Antigonus's center. That would be his book with it, chapter 19, page 43. Unfortunately, the rest of Eumenes' army was not as fortunate. His cavalry on the far left had been driven off, and in the dust, Antigonus' cavalry was able to capture the baggage train of Eumenes. Eumenes tried with great effort to reform his cavalry and counterattack, but he couldn't force them to fight. As night was falling, the Silver Shields were in a difficult position. They were without support. They needed cavalry support. The decades-long experience of the Silver Shields, of course, saved them from annihilation. What they did was, they reacted quickly, formed a square, basically for all-around defense, and then retreated in good order from the battlefield. Well, the next day, Eumenes wanted to restart the battle. After all, Antigonus's phalanx was destroyed. So Eumenes thought that the Silver Shields plus his cavalry could turn the tide. But Antigonus held something special, the baggage, which meant that was the Silver Shields' baggage. That was their money. That was their wealth. But it was also their wives and their children. The Silver Shields' commander, Timaeus, sent men to negotiate. It was a simple deal. Antigonus said, look, you can have it all. You can have everything back, and you will be well treated. All I ask is you turn Eumenes over to me. Well, this is, you know, betraying your commander is not exactly something you're supposed to do. But then again, one commander, wives and children, it wasn't that difficult of a choice. So they moved quickly on Eumenes, rushed him, disarmed him, tied his hands, and turned him over. The exchange went as promised. Eumenes was executed a few days later. The Silver Shields received all their money, all their women, and all their children. But as for the Silver Shields, the commander, Antigonus, was tossed into a pit and burned alive. The Silver Shields, according to Plutarch, the Silver Shields were now in Antigonus' service, but they were very dangerous. So he says that they were sent to the satrapy, or the province, of Archaea, which is in southeast Afghanistan. There the governor was ordered to send them on dangerous missions so that they would gradually be destroyed and certainly would not return to Macedonia. There's some discussion that they would break them up into smaller units so they could be easier to remove. Plutarch may have stretched that a little bit to give them a little better background. It is not really likely that Antigonus would have done something like that to this special group. They are old enough that just sending them off to a distant area, they could simply live out their days without causing Antigonus any more trouble. In that area of Afghanistan, which includes Bactria to the north and whatever, there are a lot of Macedonian troops that retired there to their own villages and trained their own sons. And then years later, you would have some of the other successors would recruit their sons to come in and join them in battle. So they kept reconstituting the Macedonian army. So that's a possibility. One version says that they were simply abused and done away with, and the other one says that they just basically died out from old age and living in their own area. Now, the sources for this is the Alexander's Veterans and the Early Wars of the Successors by Rossman, The Dividing of the Spoils by Waterfeld, The Ancient Warfare, Volume 9, Issue 5. Inside of that is an article called Old Men's War by DeSantis. I talked about Diodorus Siculus, so we have his book and other things. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.